All right. Hello. It is once again the Saturday DFS pod here. I'm Matt Harmon from Yahoo Fantasy. I've also got TJ Hernandez from 4for4. TJ, what's going on, buddy?
Matt, what's up, man? Just getting ready for another great week of fantasy. We don't have half the league on bye this week, so should be a fun one.
Yeah, that is nice. That's a nice touch to not have the entire, like, all of the good players, all of the good teams.
The good players are bad.
The good players are bad. Although, unfortunately, like, two of the teams, Dallas and Minnesota, are not on the main slate, but at least they're going to save the primetime slate for us here. That's going to be nice. We'll see. We'll see what they we'll see what becomes of New York and Kansas City on Monday night. I'm probably going to miss that one due to some personal life stuff, which is like, I'm actually okay. That's fine. I'm all right.
I mean, that's arguably one of the most important games of the year, though, right? Because if the Chiefs don't get right on Monday night against the Giants, then I think all of the concerns that I think some people have talked about this week are warranted. If not, then I think maybe they'll bounce back.
But you know what? All that means that I will know whether that happened after the game is over. So, like, I will be able to participate in the what is going to be a week-long discourse about the whole Chiefs thing. If we aren't already there, we'll definitely be there if they lose to the friggin' Giants. So, like, it's all that matters is getting in the takes afterwards. Like, the journey is not important. The destination is important. I'll be at the destination. I'm just going to be a few hours late. So that's all that matters there.
Results over process, baby.
Damn straight. That's exactly right. All right, let's jump right into some things this week. DJ, I just called you DJ. What a terrible situation that was.
Foreshadowing. You're foreshadowing already.
Good point. Yeah, I'm already foreshadowing things here. See, thank you. You made me look so much better in that moment. But before we get into our picks and everything like that, is there any sort of, you know, big view picture stuff you want to talk about? Because last week really was kind of, it was a lot of blowouts, a lot of bad games. But I think we can learn a few things out of that.
Yeah. Have we talked about the concept of flipping the build in terms of salary on here?
Dude, if we did, I don't remember.
It did come up last week if we looked at lineups that did very well in tournaments. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for it this week. And when I say flipping the build, I'm talking about salary allocation in terms of how much most lineups are spending at each position. And there's kind of a ebb and flow to DFS. And we talk about it a lot with individual player roster rates. But there's also certain things we see where we'll just see a lot of positions. Maybe it's because we have some free squares at running back or because quarterbacks are in really good spots that people are just falling into really distinct salary tiers at each position. For example, this week, it just looks like a lot of people are going to be paying up for quarterbacks and wide receivers. So a lot of people play tournaments and they think what team isn't going to be popular, which players are going to be popular. And that's all well and good. We should be thinking those things. But also if there's an overwhelmingly high percentage of lineups that are spending salary on a certain position or not spending salary on a certain position, that's just as much as a leverage opportunity as playing a player that isn't in a lot of lineups. So if you can say, hey, nobody's paying up for running backs this week, these running backs are expensive because they all get 20 plus touches and no one's playing them. If I'm the one guy that's paying for two expensive running backs, my lineup's going to be unique, even if I have popular pass catchers around those running backs. So just another thing to think about when you're playing something like the baller and you're playing against tens of thousands of other lineups and trying to be different. That's another layer to it.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And I think actually some of the running backs we're going to talk about today might fit into that category. So let's dive right into it. You know, I know last week you talked a lot about sort of the high value quarterbacks and everything like that. Well, we're jumping right here into the meat of that. Both of our guys are top three at the position this week. You started off with the most expensive player, Josh Allen.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention last week we talked about how Yahoo prices these top quarterbacks at such a high percentage of the salary that oftentimes, talking about like a Mahomes last week, who obviously didn't pay off, but oftentimes it's just not worth it to pay up for those guys because you can't make up for it elsewhere. This week, we do have a lot of players that are min salary, near min salary, sub $15 that are very viable. So it lets you get up to a player like Josh Allen on a Bills team that is projected for almost 32 points. So even with that really high salary, Josh Allen still projects as a top three quarterback value on 4for4. If if we adjust for strength of schedule, Miami is outside the top 20 in schedule adjusted points allowed to quarterbacks. The Bills, of course, fourth in neutral passing rate. So they're going to throw the ball to get to that big score. And Miami's been thrown against almost as much. They've been facing the seventh highest passing rate in neutral game script. And the thing that we always like about Josh Allen that I just like about my quarterbacks, it's obviously the rushing, 36 yards per game, one touchdown every three games on the ground, but just accounting for a huge percentage of that offense. He's one of seven quarterbacks that's accounted for at least 75% of his team's total yards, as well as 75% of his team's offensive touchdowns. So basically, if they're scoring, if they're moving the ball, it's because of Josh Allen.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, even the 39 sticker tag there doesn't really throw me off. I mean, like you said, there's just so much potential there. I also think with this game, too, we're not talking about either of these players on the outline, but I think they're both worth mentioning. You know, you talked about some guys that are sub 15 bucks that are, you know, viable plays. I think Jaylen Waddle is absolutely at 14 bucks, is a great bring back candidate in this spot as well. And I really like the way Waddle has played with Tua. The volume is there. Good player that can break a big one at some point. It's a tough matchup, obviously, yes, but in negative game script, it could certainly happen. So I like that part. And Gesicki too at 18, not among the tight ends we're going to talk about, but I think is as viable as anybody right now at that position with the amount of routes and targets he's getting so far.
Yeah, and Dawson Knox is out as well, so there's either opportunity for Sweeney or even our friend Evan Silva pointed out it might be finally Gabe Davis time with Knox. Yep. Was getting so much of those that end zone and mm-hmm. And like inside, not inside the 20, but like end zone targets from around the 20. It could be Gabe Davis's time finally.
Yeah, finally, you know, maybe he can actually run a route. We'll see. No, I'm joking. I do agree with that take. I think that it's a smart one. All right, let's move on to my quarterback pick here. Matthew Stafford at $34. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, this one doesn't take very much. Like, I just love the way the damn Rams are calling offense this year. You know, they are. I think he's got like a nine average depth of target out of empty. Yep. This year. It's unbelievable how much they're pushing the ball down the field. It's the Texans. And stink. This offense is on fire. And look, I mean, Cooper Kupp, highest priced guy on the board this week at wide receiver, but still, I still think very much in play. And you know, obviously Stafford is the biggest catalyst for this whole thing. So it's just, if you're going to pay up for quarterback this week, I think that Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford are great candidates for it.
Yeah, the Rams are top five in neutral passing rate as well. And one thing that I like to look at is we talk about quarterback efficiency, and a lot of people just talk about efficiency through the air, obviously, things like touchdown rate. I like to look at quarterback fantasy points per snap because it's kind of just a quick and dirty way to compare rushing quarterbacks' efficiency to other quarterbacks' efficiency that don't really run. Usually we see those rushing quarterbacks dominate in points per snap because of how fantasy scoring works. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford tied for the league lead in fantasy points per snap without running the ball. It's just
unbelievable.
Crazy.
Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, this is like some nerd stuff, but like if you really do go and just watch the way they, like, I think a lot of us assumed that, you know, they would just take Matthew Stafford, who's more talented than Jared Goff, and just drop him into the Jared Goff offense. But they're doing so much more than that in LA right now. They really are like a treat. They're like a treat to watch. Yeah. It's awesome. It's really so fun. Great to see. You know, what's definitely fun is Teddy Bridgewater at $26. Why do you want to play Teddy Bridgewater this week?
Well, one thing that Teddy Bridgewater does, and maybe the only reason that I really do want to play Teddy Bridgewater, is because it is what we talked about at the top of the show. I think he's one of the few quarterbacks that you can flip that bill, that you can have a unique salary. I don't think most lineups are going to pay under $30 for a quarterback this week because there's so many quarterbacks above that price tag that are in good spots. So if you want to do like a really true studs and duds build where you pay all the way down at tight end, all the way down at defense, all the way down at quarterback, at one or two pass catchers, and then have just guys that are over 30 bucks, you can do that with the Teddy Bridgewater. Surprisingly, we've actually seen Teddy in two winning baller lineups this year. And I think that has a little bit to do with just the fact that it is that going into that weird salary range and being able to have a unique lineup. But also, I mean, he gets Jerry Jeudy back. This is an offense that we saw. It was clicking early and then Teddy got hurt and things got a little bit ugly. But they're in a really good get right spot against Washington. Last in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. Every quarterback since week two has scored at least 24 fantasy points against them. The only quarterback to not hit that mark, Justin Herbert back in week one, he still went over 300 yards. So I just like the Denver passing attack with Judy back. I think people are going to, even if they look at Washington and say, yeah, I want to attack them, but I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to play out with Judy back. What's the target share look like? Just throw Teddy in there with Noah Fant, who's been their most, you know, reliable, consistent guy, and figure out their wide receivers elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think getting Jerry Jeudy back is huge. I mean, I love the guy. He's going to give them that layup target in general. I think Jerry Jeudy's, it's probably too aggressive to play him in his first game back. Agree. Even in a redraft league, like depending on your options, I would rather be patient with Jerry Jeudy and just see how it goes in week one.
But they don't need fantasy. Him. They don't need him to come back and be as good as we think he is, because Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton have been playing great, as well as Noah Fant.
Yep. Yep. No, they have a really good set of receivers there, a good set of pass catchers in general. So no, it makes a ton of sense, that play there. My cheap quarterback is Matt Ryan at 24. I definitely think he fits into this whole flipping the build thing that you're talking about here. You know, his yards per attempt is up in three straight games, 6.7, 7.6, 8.4. I think the Falcons offense in general, I know we're going to talk about another piece of this Falcons offense later on. I think they're figuring it out. I think that a lot of these players are, you know, whether it's CPAT, whether it's Ridley. I know Ridley didn't hit like a huge game last week, but still 10 targets, scored a touchdown. I don't see anything wrong with Ridley when I watch him. So I think it's just like a matter of time before he has that eruption game. And obviously, oh my God, what Kyle Pitts did, you know, it's all coming together here for the Falcons offense. Like, I think their team trending in the right direction. And Matt Ryan has gotten some, you know, heat early in the season for like, oh, is it over for him? Is he really starting to decline? If you take out that week one nightmare of a game, which, you know, like they made the damn Eagles offense look like the next, you know, Rams offense or something like that, because their defense is that bad. If you take that game out, Matt Ryan, I think, is seventh in EPA per play right now among quarterbacks, which is pretty incredible considering how, you know, he's not really at all talked about among guys like Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow and obviously Matthew Stafford, who are up there in that stat. So, yeah, I think that Matt Ryan is a pretty reasonable play if you want to get up there at other positions.
Very reasonable, I would say. A lot of the players around him are going to be popular this week, and a lot, you know, maybe two or three of the players around him are going to be pretty popular this week, and we're going to talk about a couple of them. So it would make sense that if a lot of his pass catchers are going to be targeted by really good DFS players, that their quarterback should have a good game. 10 touchdowns and just one interception over his last four games. And like you said, things starting to click. It's not a coincidence. I mean, Arthur Smith came in and really it changed the offense that they've been running. They've had a very similar offense, whether it's been Sarkisian or Dirk Cotter. It's been really similar with both of those guys. And Arthur Smith is going to take some growing pains with a quarterback that's been in the league as long as he has. But we saw them. They came out of the bye. Probably not a coincidence that coming out of the bye, they have their highest neutral passing rate of the season in a single game. Granted, it's against Miami, but I think they start leaning on a lot of these weapons that we're going to be talking about coming up.
Yeah, I think they're finally ditching the whole establish the run thing, which is good, because this is not going to happen with Mike Davis in that offensive line. Yeah, let's go. All right, running backs, you mentioned it. The more high tier guys at this position this week: Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara. Those guys are all 33 and above.
Yep.
It seems like you think those will not be popular guys, or you might not be willing to click on those guys there. Tell us who your top running back, top price running back is guy this week.
I think all of those guys are going to be really intriguing for the reasons that we talked about in terms of building a different salary. But if we're talking just straight value plays like we're trying to do here, I mean, Daryl Henderson will be one of the most popular running backs, but probably one of the most mispriced players on the slate at $23. And that's because he was in a very similar spot last week and didn't perform up to expectations. It looked like a blow up spot and then puts up single digit fantasy points, but he gets to run it back as a 14.5 point favorite against Houston. Henderson's one of six players with at least 75% of his backfield touches over the last month. He's top 10 in red zone targets among running backs. And this is why I'm not concerned about last week. It's not like it was a usage thing. It was a touchdown variance thing. And that's just going to happen, especially on pass heavy teams. But it's not like he's one of these running backs that isn't involved in the passing game. He's getting targeted in the red zone. He's the only running back with multiple end zone targets this season. And the Texans, he can obviously still get it done on the ground. Texans, one of four teams, only four teams have allowed more rushing touchdowns than Houston this year. So I'm going right back to the Hendo train. I'm not too worried about that 8 or 9 point game or whatever it was last week.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, as somebody that did play Daryl Henderson everywhere, like I, you know, if people think like me, they're going to be like, man, you know, I played this guy last week and blah, 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 blah. It didn't really work out, you know? So, I mean, I'm not thinking that way, but I agree. I think
there's enough of those guys, and they sound like that too when they say it exactly like that.
I'm not playing that guy after what he did to me last week. Yeah, no, I think that, he will be very unpopular, and like, you know, a lot of folks will click on Matthew Stafford. They'll click on Cooper Kupp. Yes. They'll click on those parts of the Rams passing game, even a few of the other ones we're going to talk about later. But I think Henderson will go under rostered this week. So that's a good call by you. I think if you're going to look at these running backs, you know, maybe not those top four that we talked about, but if you're going to try to build that unique lineup, I think James Robinson is a guy who will also come in at a low roster rate. And, you know, you look at him, $30. The Jacksonville offense is sort of kind of starting to figure itself out, I think. And I think most of it is just they're centering on James Robinson as that focal point, you know, which is, I mean, this guy's just a survivor, right? He consistently, you know, undrafted free agent, has a great season and is a rookie. They try to replace him like by two guys, basically. Like they try to draft a running back in the first round. They bring in old Carlos Hyde, like Ohio State connective tissue there. But James Robinson just keeps going out there and kicking ass, man. And it's great to see. And, you know, you look at James Robinson here at home. Okay, well, actually, are they, you know, this game's in Seattle, right?
In Seattle, yes.
In Seattle. But either way, like, Seattle's defense stinks out loud, man. Yep. Alvin Kamara was wrecking them. Obviously, not as much. They were really trying to focus on the run game, but then it's like, Pete Carroll, have you ever watched Alvin Kamara ever? How are you allowing him to just have these like little flat routes out of the backfield with a free? Oh my God, it was Seattle. Come back to us, man. What are we doing here? So I think this is just a good situation for James Robinson to touch the ball 20 plus times at a low roster rate. And, you know, as a central point of a team's offense in a very good matchup.
Yeah, he leads the league in percentage of backfield touches over the last month, 88%. And like you said, people are going to see that JAX next to his name, and they're not going to worry about the volume or the matchup. They're just going to see Jacksonville, and you don't play Jacksonville players in fantasy.
No. And also, too, you know, that's exactly who he was last year. Like the guy who led the NFL in like percentage of backfield touches long stretch. And we're just right back there. Like I said, the guy is a survivor. You can't get rid of him. He's like a good version of a cockroach. All right. maybe you could say the same thing about our next player here.
James Robinson. I think James Robinson, for the record, I think you're much more than a good cockroach.
Well, what's the other thing that like survives the nuke? Oh, a Twinkie survives the nuclear Holocaust or whatever. It's that and cockroach. He's a Twinkie.
Okay. I'll give him that.
Yeah, we didn't get the Photoshop that we wanted a couple of weeks ago. Maybe we'll get a James Robinson on a Twinkie or a cockroach and see what looks better. Yeah, that would be nice. All right, Cordero Patterson, he's the survivor. He's been around forever, like 100 years at this point. So, but he's with the team that has finally figured out, and he's just $17 this week.
Just $17, and because of that, he is the top value across all positions at 4-for-4. And again, going back to you said the Falcons with Matt Ryan getting away from that established the run. Coming out of the bye, Mike Davis saw just four touches, and I think that is something that I don't think it'll be four, but I think that 15-15 touch split that we saw the first 5 or 6 weeks, I think that's out the window. I mean, it's obviously going to be hard for Cordarrelle to get 15 touches but every week, but if he's getting 12 or 13, I think Mike Davis will be down to you know, 6 or 7 maybe. And Patterson is they came out, he's getting more touches than Mike Davis in the backfield. He's getting as many routes as Pitts and Calvin Ridley on the outside in the slot. They're just using him everywhere. He's fifth in the league in red zone targets. So you're getting a true, we like to say running back, wide receiver hybrid a lot, but no one ever really is, right? It's usually a running back lining up in the slot or a wide receiver that gets a couple sweeps, and we like to call him hybrid.
Yeah.
Cordarrelle's a true hybrid right now.
Yeah, old Austin Eckler getting in my face about very, very much like I'm very much dramatizing this story right now. Getting in my face about wanting me to chart his routes or whatever because he's taking like 17% of his snaps out of the slot or whatever while we're lifting weights together, me and Eckler. But give me a break, bro.
Yeah,
maybe I'll chart me some CPAT. Maybe I would back not say off, this Austin. To his face. Give me a
break,
man.
You are making running back enemies today. We got Robinson Cockroach. You're yelling at Austin Eckler.
I know. Man, I like the good guys in the league, too.
I know.
Right? See, I should probably stop.
You get known for reception perception, and then you just forget about all the other positions.
Well, it was a tough scene with Eckler when, you know, this was pre-pandemic or whatever. He's like, what's mine look like? I'm like, well, you're a running back, dude. I only do receivers. He had his percentage of snaps ready to roll from the slot and all this stuff. But
he is a fantasy guy.
He is big fantasy guy. Watch Eckler's Edge right here on Yahoo Sports. Boom. What a tie-in there. Cordero Patterson, though, maybe I got it. Maybe, well, CPAT has me blocked on Twitter. That's a whole nother story. Oh, so he can't even check out his reception perception if he wanted to. But anyways, like, what the hell are we talking about here? What I was going to say before I got on this whole stupid tangent, what I was going to say is I can't believe Patterson was $23 last week. And yes. Now he's all the way down to 17, despite the fact that he touched the ball 15 times, scored a touchdown, did get 5 targets. Maybe it's because of the whole, like, he's a receiver / running back the situation. But that drop is interesting.
Yeah, or I mean, maybe I guess he's officially like listed as a running back, and Carolina is listed as a tough running back matchup, even though that's weighted a little bit heavy towards the early season. So maybe that's a little overweighted in the algo. Either way, $17 is way too cheap for Cordero.
Yeah, I mean, even 17 at receiver, he's in an interesting range there if he was there. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like he's not really a traditional, as much as we're saying like running back receiver hybrid, he's not like a traditional running back. So I don't think the matchup part of it matters as much for him.
Exactly.
In that same range, a guy that I think will go overlooked is Zach Moss, because people are obviously going to look at the matchup between Miami and Buffalo from a passing game perspective. And we have talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that with our player picks here. But, you know, Zach Moss, like, Buffalo is a 14-point home favorite. You think Zach Moss is not touching that ball like 15 to 18 times in this game and like potentially scoring a touchdown? I think he is a guy that if you're wanting to save a little bit at running back, he is an option that people might not initially look at.
Yeah, and I'm going straight off memory here, but I'm pretty sure I saw that Miami is near the top of the league in missed tackle rate against running back. So that should be an opportunity for them to break one. What do you think his splits look like with Singletary this week?
Oh, I mean, I think that this is a game where Moss should lead the backfield by a pretty decent amount. I also just think Zach Moss is kind of the better player.
Sure. And early in the season when both of them, they've been kind of on and off, but early in the season when both of them were playing pretty much equal snaps, Zach Moss was getting the touches inside the 10-yard line. And I think Zach Moss will be like, he's not going to be a 1% guy this week. He might be like a 7 or 8% guy, but that's what you want from like your second running back spot. You don't need or really ever want a 1% guy. So people will play Moss a little bit, but if you start hearing his name on other podcasts, I wouldn't get nervous. I think he'll still be sub 10%.
All right, let's move to wide receivers. I foreshadowed this at the beginning of the podcast, but DJ, tell us about DJ Moore.
Well, we talked about our plan to record our DJ Moore segments and just play them on loop every week, and then he got expensive, but he's back down to $23.
Those age very poorly, by the way, because the whole thing with the Panthers is just kind of falling apart.
Yeah, the Sam Darnold experiment is not going as great as it was in the first few weeks, and because of that, DJ Moore's fantasy numbers have really fallen off the table. He is 50th in fantasy points per game at wide receiver over the last 3 weeks, but he's 6th in expected fantasy points over the last 3 weeks based off the 4-for-4 breakout receiver model. So that usage, no matter your quarterback is Sam Darnold or not, usually normalizes and often normalizes in a very big way. Atlanta is a defense to do that against. They're the only defense in the league that 4-for-4 ranks in the bottom 10 in schedule adjusted points to every skill position, including quarterback and wide receiver. And Moore's getting usage. He's still top three in targets per game, tied with Devontae Adams. So I think things should, if things don't turn around against this defense, then maybe we start sounding the alarms, but I don't think we sound them just yet on DJ. I think people might get a little bit blinded because like Robbie's getting noticed as a player that's getting a lot of volume. So like we expect it from DJ, but not from Robbie, and people are gonna be like, oh, he's cheaper, play him. And DJ Moore's our top value receiver. So I think you're still going to get, he's probably still going to be pretty unpopular, even though he's cheap, and Robbie might just like accidentally get a couple of the shares that should go DJ's way, but just take the best player on the team.
Yeah, take the guy who is, you know, maybe not playing his best right now, DJ Moore's, you know, he's dropped a couple passes here and there, but like I think Robbie's legit got the yips right now, and like his whole his whole usage is just way different than it was last year, but now also it's kind of switching back a little bit. That I don't know, that whole situation, I would that is one of those ones where it's like usually I'd love to be ahead of the curve, but like I'll wait till Robbie like figures this whole thing out before I start thinking about him again.
Add Robbie on your enemy list too. You got Cordarrelle, you got Robbie, just keep going all podcasts today, just make all the NFL enemies today.
Robbie might that one I might be a little worried about. I mean, Austin Eckler could kick my ass if he wanted to, but I'm actually a little more worried. He's a nice guy. I'm a little more worried about Robbie Anderson, so I'll stop talking now. But one guy who I know will never be my enemy, has said we are best friends, is Stefon Diggs. So like let's focus on the positive here. Although he owes me a Mario Kart matchup, but that's another discussion. $30 for Stefon Diggs going against a team that plays the most man coverage in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins. We know that Steph Diggs obliterates Miami and also man coverage. Both things can be true here, obviously. So I just love Diggs this week. He got going against the Tennessee Titans before the bye, had that decent game there, but I still think there's so much still unrealized opportunity from the early part of the season that at some point is going to transfer into a monster game. I really think Buffalo comes in here and like blows the doors off Miami, and I think Steph Diggs and Josh Allen are a big part of that.
Yep, I've pretty much laid out why I like Josh Allen, so that's obviously going to translate. And I mean, Diggs, again, I mentioned like maybe Gabe Davis benefits because Dawson Knox is out. Dawson Knox was just taking a lot of touchdown equity away from everybody. So it's not always just like when those players get hurt or their shares are gone, it's not like this even distribution to everybody else. Sometimes a player like Diggs is just like, okay, I'm just going to take everything from everybody because I'm the best player here. So he's still going to have some huge monster games, like you said.
Yeah, at some point we're going to get a double-digit touchdown game, or a multiple touchdown game.
That would be a record.
That would be nice. That would be nice. That would be nice. A double-digit touchdown game, that'd be pretty sweet. At some point we're going to get multiple touchdowns. This is a pretty good week for that to happen. Going all the way from 30 down to 11, let's talk Van Jefferson.
Going back to Stafford, and I already talked about Henderson, so obviously we're just on this game in general. But if you are going to be stacking this team, it's going to be tough to get unique with any of those players, including Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson will let you do that, so he'll lower your roster rate while also lowering your average salary of the stack down at $11. Last week, in a close game, surprisingly close game, saw a season-high 94% of snaps and a 17% target share. He's the only Ram besides DeSean Jackson with an average depth of target over 10 yards. And obviously, as I mentioned, with a 94% snap share, it looks like he's moving past DeSean in terms of where he ranks on the team in that receiver pecking order. The Rams, you talked about 9 yards on an average depth of target in empty sets. And if we look overall top five in average depth of target just as a team, Houston last in fantasy points per pass attempt allowed on targets of 15 plus air yards. So basically they are not good against the deep ball.
This is very true. Shock. I'm going to stay in the same game for my next wide receiver pick. 15 bones for Brandon Cooks. Give me a break on that one. In weeks 5 through 7, Brandon Cooks among wide receivers ranks 15th in his percentage of team air yards, 20th in percentage of team targets, 22nd in targets per game. In weeks 1 through 3, he was 1st, 2nd, and 5th in those categories among wide receivers. What's the coincidence here? Obviously, one of those games in weeks 1 through 3 is Davis Mills, but the first two were primarily Tyrod Taylor. Sounds like Tyrod is close. He's by the time you're listening to this on Saturday, you might well know whether Tyrod's going to be going to be playing in this game or not. I almost think regardless, I think Brandon Cooks is a very good play. Number one, hashtag revenge game. Number two, coming into last week, the Rams were top three in terms of catches allowed to wide receivers. Like, they will give you that underneath stuff. I think Brandon Cooks can get pummeled with some underneath catches in this game, pile up some production. And for $15, I mean, if you want to access Matthew Stafford, you want to access Cooper Kupp and run it back with somebody, I mean, Cooks is just at such a great value this week. Again, would love him if Tyrod is there, but I still like him regardless.
Yes, exactly. Love if Tyrod is there. We do a Sam Hoppen does a article every week on 4-for-4 that compares weighted opportunity to targets per route run. And Brandon Cooks is basically the only players that are close to him are Cooper Kupp and Devontae. So in terms of like how much his team uses him, he's near the top. It's just hard to translate that into a lot of fantasy points with Davis Mills. But hopefully he gets Tyrod back.
Yeah, let's hope. Fingers crossed. It's enough of Davis Mills already. We get it. All right, let's move to tight end. I gushed about Kyle Pitts when I merely said the name earlier. $21, he is your top pick at tight end this week. And TJ, I mean, honestly, he might be like the best tight end the rest of the season. He might be better than Travis Kelce the rest of the season. I think that there's a very realistic chance that, like, in terms of rest of season rankings, I've got him at 2 now for sure.
Oh, wow.
But I'm getting close. I'm getting close. Oh. I'll tell you that.
I don't know if I'm gonna go that far, but the fact that we're even having the conversation should tell you that $21 is a huge bargain. Because as we talked about last week with Kelce, Yahoo generally prices their tight ends relatively low at the ceiling compared to other positions. And when they do price them all the way up, it's usually at $27 or $28. So you're still getting a huge discount at $21 for somebody that you could consider, at least in the conversation, for the overall tight end one. And the reason is because the Falcons have basically the two biggest DFS cheat codes in the league right now. We already talked about Cordarrelle being a true hybrid and you're getting to play him at right. Really, either position you would play him at, it would be cheating. And now Kyle Pitts, he's a receiver, right? Can we say he's a wide receiver with a tight end tag? Can we say that?
Just don't do that, because then people are going to be like, when's the Kyle Pitts reception? And I'm not trying to add to my workload.
Him and Austin Eckler can Rochambeau for who gets the reception perception, and they can deal with that the offseason.
I'll pay for that. I'll pay to watch that.
he's basically a high-end wide receiver at a tight end two-tier price tag. So he leads all pass catchers in expected fantasy points per game over the last 3 weeks. That's including wide receiver. That means he has more expected points than Devontae Adams, more than Travis Kelce, more than Cooper Kupp, everybody's hero. The expected, the usage, the targets, they're all leading to Kyle Pitts being the fantasy monster, and he's just underpriced. He's 5th in yards over the last month. Everybody else that's in the top 10 has played 4 games. He's played 3.
I love it. Yeah, dude, Kyle Pitts is so good. Going to get all those vertical targets. It's so awesome. All right, my pick here for tight end is, oh my God, it's another player from the Rams-Texans game who's not on the Texans. Tyler Higbee at $19. Look, Tyler Higbee is actually top 10 in the NFL in red zone targets right now. He saw his second highest target share of the season last week. Like, he had a pretty decent game against the Lions, but TJ, I don't know if you know this, there's a little site called 4-for-4 that does schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to positions. And I believe Tyler Higbee with the Rams gets a matchup against the Houston Texans, who are 31st in that particular metric. So boom.
Yeah. Take a drink, and everybody. I think some people if you haven't played a ton of tournaments, you might hear this podcast and say, well, you're just telling me to play all the Rams. How does that help me? On Yahoo, on Yahoo, we're scoring as half PPR. We should really be leaning into, especially when we're building tournament teams, leaning into looking for games where we don't have to get a bunch of things right. If you're playing players, like one player from each game, you need every player to hit perfectly, right? So instead of doing that, you can make the argument, and we've seen it a lot in successful tournament lineups, call it an onslaught, call it a mega stack, whatever it is, you can play 4 players from one game or even from one offense. And if they hit, if they go crazy, instead of trying to hand pick one player from each game, you just pick the game that's going to go bonkers. And if it does, you could play 3 or 4 of these guys that we've mentioned together. And if the Rams go off like they should, 32 point implied point total, then you're going to benefit over the field. So don't be afraid to play all these guys together.
I was going to bring up the implied point total thing too, especially because like when you're looking at half PPR, you're looking more towards, like you said, not getting everything right. And especially just hunting for touchdowns, especially exactly. When you look at the teams this week that are top five and implied point total, you've got the Bills, who we've talked about a ton, the Rams, who we've talked about a ton. Then it's the Chiefs, Cardinals, and Vikings. Those three teams do not play on the main slate. So like these are those two. This is why it might be a good week to just like go heavy on the Bills, go heavy on the Rams and stuff like that. So, when you
look at those implied point totals, we have the Bills and the Rams, and a lot of times it is very linear where it's like we have 32, 31, the next team might be 30, the next team might be 29. It goes from like basically 31 or 32 all the way down to 28 to at Tampa. So there's almost a 4-point gap. So that's that huge drop off. Those are the weeks where maybe if you are going to load up on the most popular offenses, you don't tiptoe around it. You just lean into it and play four of their guys.
Yeah. That is a fair point. Now, a team that does not have a very implied high implied team total is the Washington football team. But you still think he of the beer bet, Ricky Seals-Jones, is in play this week?
Yeah, the hyphened one, RSJ. This is just a salary hasn't adjusted to his price play. Down at $11 over the last three games, 7.3 targets per game. The only tight end that's run more routes in that span is Travis Kelce. So the matchup isn't great. We talked about on the Denver side that they could push the tempo a little bit with Jerry Jeudy back, just in a really good passing matchup. If they can get back to that early season form, it will force Washington to throw maybe a little more than expected. And RSJ, I mean, even if all those things weren't a factor, just at $11 on a bad tight end week, five of the top seven tight ends in terms of point per game are off the main slate. So why not pay all the way down if you're not going to pay for Pitts?
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And if you're in that range, you're paying all the way down. What about Adam Trautman? Listen, I know.
What about
him? I know it's Adam Trautman, but listen, he was second on the team in routes run against the Seahawks on Sunday. The Bucks, we know they're just like a pass funnel in general because nobody tries to run on them, except Khalil Herbert, I guess, runs on the Bucks. Jeez, God almighty. Anyways, like this is Jameis going back against his old team. How exciting. Listen, I think that the Saints are starting to trust him a little more. They still want to baby him a little bit, and that's fine. But if they're going to probably open this thing up a little more than we've seen previously. Trautman going against this Bucks team that's allowed the most catches to tight ends this year so far, I think is a pretty decent punt play at just $10.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about Trautman, but if you watch the Eli and if you watch the Eli and Peyton Monday night game, they had Drew Brees on there and they said, is this the same offense with Jameis? And basically they went to commercial before he could answer. So that, I just thought that was pretty funny because he was like, it's not even close to the same.
Not even close. Do you like so you watch the Peyton Eli bonanza? Yes. You like it?
I can't even fathom watching a regular broadcast anymore. It's that good.
Okay. All right. I have not. I don't tweet about this because I just don't want to hate my life. and I have no problem with people liking the Manning broadcast. And I also am not like the let me hate what everybody loves guy like on Twitter. Yes. Those people are the stone worst. But like call me a boomer or just like a traditionalist or whatever. But like I just want to watch the game. All right. Like, sure. I just want to watch the game. Do I think Steve Levy says some dumb stuff every now and again? 100%. Not my favorite booth ever, but like, I'm not trying to hear people talk during the game. I'm just trying to watch the game.
I will say it's a little bit guest dependent, but Peyton and Eli are definitely doing a good job of giving some insight and talking through the game. And you know, island games are a little bit of a gamble sometimes. Sometimes just watching the game isn't the most fun thing in the world.
I know. I for whatever reason, like the whole second screen experience is like it's a whole discussion thing to me, and I don't really care for it. Like, and I've been on shows that are like supposed to be the second screen experience, and I'm like, I wouldn't watch this. I'm just trying to watch a game. I haven't talked about that anywhere yet. So I'm glad we somebody I like as much as you, I can have this conversation with, as opposed to like I said, I would never.
I'm also an island game curmudgeon. So maybe really? You take what I say with a grain of salt.
I'm like an island game enthusiast, even bad island games, dude. I'm like, well, give me, give me the trash. I love the trash. Like, I, you know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I would never tweet about this because, I mean, I hate Twitter and, like, I don't need anyone's thoughts about. I'm just trying not to be like the, like I said, like what you like, DJ. You and every other Manning bro out there, like, enjoy the Manning cast. It's just, I just, and I'm sure it's good. I just don't want it. I'm sure.
I'm sorry for hitting a sweet spot. Add Peyton and Eli to the Matt enemy list today.
I mean, I don't think if I could think of two people, like, we saw Eli give the old double finger there. Yeah. I'm sure he could not give two flying F's about what I think about his broadcast. That's for sure. Anyways, that's enough of that. What the people really want to hear about, not my thoughts on the Manning cast. They want to hear about the old defenses, and especially TJ. I'm glad you had the stones to put the Jaguars here because I thought about it and didn't.
Yeah, I mean, this one's pretty simple. Going back to that Monday night game, Saints and Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks just look bad with Geno under center, and you're getting Jaguars at the stone minimum. Seattle is 31st in adjusted sack rate allowed. So even though they're going to try to establish the run, the Seahawks are, and Geno's not going to give you a ton of turnover opportunity. They're just basically a horrific offense with Geno in there, and they're gonna let defenses get after him when he does, the few times he does drop back. So I've mentioned kind of leaning into a studs and duds type build this week, and I think it's really good week to pay all the way down. So why not do it against one of the worst offenses in the league right now?
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, that makes a ton of sense. That makes a ton of sense right there. Yeah, no, I think that the Jaguars are perfectly in play. Like, you're just basically looking for a couple sacks, like a turnover or something for them to meet that value. It's perfectly fine.
And you mentioned Robinson, so there's a little mini correlation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll have to flip that up there. I think the Steelers are also pretty, like, underpriced at $15. I don't really care who plays quarterback, whether it's Case Keenum, Baker Mayfield, whatever. But even if it's Baker, honestly, that might be better because I just don't think he's going to be the same dealing with that shoulder injury all year. The Steelers are third in the NFL in pressure rate right now. We know the pressure leads to sacks. Sacks lead to fantasy points, or they also could lead to pressure leads to turnovers too. And I think Baker's perfectly content to have those turnover moments right now. Just $15, $15, I think they're a pretty good value.
Yeah, I think that it will be a very defensive game, so I'd like Steelers there.
Love it. All right, let's talk flex plays. Devontae Smith, TJ, he's got to have a big game at some point, man.
I'm going back to the well. I was going to take the easy route. I was going to take the easy route with DeAndre Swift, but I mean, let's have some fun with Devontae. You're still getting a pretty decent price discount. Listen, I know Jalen Hurts has been struggling as a passer. I know they're talking about maybe benching him for Gardner Minshew. Detroit defense, last in fantasy points per pass attempt allowed. They've allowed the fifth most fantasy points per target on deep targets, 15 plus or more air yards. Devontae Smith expected fantasy points per game over the last three, up there with guys like Tyreek, Diggs, Darren Waller, Chris Godwin. So the usage is there, the deep usage, the volume, the few targets near the goal line that they do have. I'm going to gamble on the defense matchup that Hurts at least gives us 1 week of a good passing attack, that Smith finally turns that usage into some work. So, I mean, you're not playing him in cash games or anything like that, but I do like attacking this Detroit pass game. And Detroit, I think a lot of people might look at something like raw fantasy points and think Detroit, they're not that bad against the pass. Well, they've faced the fewest pass attempts in the league by a huge margin. So last in and that's because they've always been behind. So they're last in pass attempts against, but they've still allowed the 11th most points to quarterbacks. So the efficiency is just like through the roof against them.
Yikes. Tough scene for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I think Smith is at some point going to have that big game. Pretty good matchup for this to be the time. I will play it safe here and just talk Chris Godwin at 25. Mm-hmm. Look, I think that in a world without Antonio Brown, which is the world we're going to be living in here for at least a little bit, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin would be like 30 plus receivers. You know, that's how I would value them in my mind. We're not going to get Brown in this game. Gronk comes back, that's fine. I still think Godwin will retain a pretty huge red zone role. And obviously going into this matchup with the New Orleans Saints, we know the storied history of Marshawn Lattimore just like getting, he plays his best ball against old Mike Evans. So we'll see. Maybe that's actually could be an opportunity to go contrarian if you want to be risky there and play Evans over Godwin. But I still think I'm going to stick it safe with Godwin here.
Yeah, what do we know 100% if Gronk is playing for sure? We're recording this on Thursday. Limited participant in practice, I believe, on Thursday, but it's sounding like he's trending towards playing. By Saturday, we might have a much better idea of that.
Yeah, he it looks like likely based on his practice report from Thursday where he got a decent bit in. So, I'm projecting as if he's going to be back, but could obviously be wrong about that.
Yeah. No, either way, Godwin and the Bucs passing game in general, a great play this week.
Love it. All right, let's talk fades here. You're talking 49ers. I would love to fade the 49ers. I would love to fade them out of my memory.
Elijah Mitchell, I think, is going to be popular as a pay down option at running back all the way down at $20. He saw 75% of the backfield work last week. I mean, my concern here is both of these teams want to run the ball. Both of them are poor offenses. It's going to be just a slow paced run it game. And we talked about where you should be searching for touchdowns, especially in tournaments. So even if Elijah Mitchell does get 75% of the backfield work, I just don't think there's much upside in this offense, especially he's basically a zero in the passing game right now. So when you add that on there with how slow this game, I think, is going to pace, I'm just not really looking, especially if, and this is with the assumption that Elijah Mitchell is like going to approach like a 20% rostered rate. I would just much rather save salary and chase upside elsewhere.
Yeah, I totally stamp approve that one. It sounded like Debo's a little banged up. So I don't know. Maybe Ayuk will do more than just run wind sprints. We'll see. I mean, he's getting his
weekly cardio exercise. Yeah,
he is in the best shape of his life, man. When it comes to the end of season race, he is going to kick everybody's ass there. That's for sure. What a win for the good guys on that one. My fade this week, and I literally wrote gulp in the outline because I hate to say it, but Ja'Marr Chase at $31, I think, is a decent fade this week. There's just so many guys in good spots. And also, really, like, I just want to, this is like not an anti-Ja'Marr Chase take. Those should literally be illegal at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be exiled from society if you want to have those. You should have been all along, but right now especially, we can just go ahead and get you out of here at this point. But I really just wanted to kind of ram in a T. Higgins take on this one. Over the last 3 weeks, T. Higgins is averaging 9.3 targets per game, 94 air yards per game. Like, the volume is still there for T. Higgins, and the price discrepancy between 31 for Chase, 16 for T. Higgins is huge. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if T. Higgins, like, look, Ja'Marr Chase is a great player. He is like, I've been charting this guy recently. He's like already a top 10, 12 receiver. He has no weaknesses in his game. It's unbelievable. Legitimately, he's good at everything. But T. Higgins is a pretty good player too. Like, he's a fine number two receiver going in a matchup where they're 10.5 point road favorites are the Bengals over the New York Jets. Like, why can't T. Higgins outscore Ja'Marr Chase this week? It wouldn't be surprising at all. And there's just, he's almost double his salary is Ja'Marr Chase over T. Higgins.
I know one of the reasons that a lot of people struggle in DFS is because that last statement, why can't T. Higgins outscore Ja'Marr Chase this week? And people just don't understand ranges of outcomes, and the likelihood of that is so much higher than our brain wants to perceive it. And not just that, but with guys like Ja'Marr and Cooper Kupp, when we're fading these guys in DFS, there's no metric that's going to tell us that it's a bad play. These are strictly like game theory fades that, going back to our original point, if everybody's paying up for these wide receivers, and very specific wide receivers, Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, and nobody's paying up for the running back, you're just looking for a way to be unique. You're being unique with really good players, but I think it's really hard, especially for newer DFS players, to look at that, look at a raw projection, look at the last 3 weeks of fantasy production and say, well, you're dumb if you don't play those guys. And maybe you are, but that's not how you win at DFS.
it's at least worth having the conversation, like you said, being open-minded to these things. So definitely. All right, TJ, that was a jam-packed show of a lot of plays and a lot of weird anecdotes by me. And I apologize for wasting everybody's time on those, not the plays part, but definitely the some of the weird anecdotes. Anyways, TJ, tell the people out there, if they found this at the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast feed, tell them about DFS MVP.
DFS MVP is every Friday streaming all of our values across the entire DFS industry. Every Monday, we are also streaming our cash game review, looking back on all of our lineups from Sunday. Both of those are with my co-host, Matt Savoca. And then Sunday morning, if you want one more bite of what we're talking about here, getting into our final look on GPPs, we do our last look show on Sunday morning on the 4 for 4 subscriber only Discord. That's with Jordan Vanek. That one is at 8 in the morning Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern time. So make sure you're checking that out on Sunday mornings.
Up early for the people there on Pacific Coast time, TJ.
West Coast, best coast.
Well, yeah, damn right, buddy. That's the truth. All right. If you found this from the DFS MVP feed, give Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast a spin. I am on the Sunday recap show where I do not tell stupid personal anecdotes. I just recap the games with Liz Loza. We do the Stat Nerd podcast with Dalton Del Don in the middle of the week. That was, I think it was a great show this past week. If you're still checking this out on Saturday, go check out the stat show from Thursday. All right, that will do it for us. That will do it for us here. I'm at Matt Harmon _BYB on Twitter. That's at TJ Hernandez. Check us out on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. We're out.